So I'd like to continue something we started discussing last week. I apologize that I made a copy of it. I forgot to bring it in, but this is the GPS. So we forgot already what GPS stood for. Geirus Policies and Standards. This is the, as you write here, in 2006, the Rabbinical Council, that's the RCA, in the Basin of America, they wanted to have a improved process to sort of like streamline things that, on the one hand, will protect the dignity, right here, of people who are potentially converting, to the extent that they would know what they're getting into, they would understand what the expectations are of that, and you know, it's having almost like, I think we said last week, an equal playing field. That it wouldn't be as if you can go to one of these, you know, makeshift Beis Dins, and all of a sudden you take a shower, you come back out in 24 hours, you're Jewish. You know, that we'd want to have some sort of everything. On the other hand, it's not stringing along the process. If you find a person who's very sincere and really wants to become part of the Am HaNivchar, that they're not going to be 17 years to get through the process. So there's a page here you can read on your own. I don't want to go through the whole thing. Just we want to point out to you, here you have here on the front page, the growing number of outreach and conversion programs, varying standards adopted by individual rabbis in disparate communities. That's a key point right there. That you have different standards, trying to make one standard in all the communities, increasing incidence and complexity of so-called mixed marriages, resulting children, more generally a lack of reliable data, factual information to be made accessible to converts, rabbis, synagogues, schools, Jewish communities at large. So I didn't put it all in here, but some of the things we talked about last time was that one of the things that's expected of a potential convert is that they're going to be sending their children to a Jewish school, K through 12. They'll be living in a Jewish community. It's not that if you're going to, you know, just become Jewish in the middle of the night, because we assume that part of the you know, Jewish life is being in the community. Okay. That being said, we don't look for converts. But before Shachris this morning, I was learning with someone, we were talking a little bit about this Gemara Pesachim, I think it's on Peches, that says that the reason why we were sent into Gullus is to make converts. So on the one hand, you see that you know, if you're walking around and you're living a life the way you're supposed to, making a Kiddush Hashem, then people will become attracted to that. People will find meaning in their life. Some of the stories from potential game are amazing. They're very inspirational. I think on Tisha B'Av we talked about a few of them. But from people who just, you know, have been looking and searching, and then all of a sudden they see something that really resonates, so we don't want to close the door to them, but on the other hand, we want to make sure that they are in fact sincere. So probably one of the major issues to discuss is we discussed last week, just to quickly do a chazara, about, we know bris milah is something you have to do, we know that tevila is one thing you have to do, and in the times in the base of Migdash was standing, they had to bring a korban. But one of the very central issues, which almost probably the central issue, is to accept the mitzvos. So that's what I want to discuss today. You know, so how much is it? What does that mean, really? If a person feels that I'd like to do it, but I'm a human being, and I know that I have temptations, and I can't say with certainty in front of a Beis Din that I'm never, ever, ever going to do anything in the Torah for it. I'll try to be the best Jew I can, but what does that mean? So the first issue is if they can't do it. So what does it mean? They say basically they would come and say to us as follows: I'm going to be Jewish, except shatnez. I have such a tie of it to wear wool and linen together. That's just the one I can't. Cheeseburgers, forget about it. Shrimp, forget about it. But shatnez, oh, what a geschmack it is to wear shatnez. I'm not keeping that one. So let's, I'm being silly, a little bit, hopefully, right? That's one issue. What about, do we defrock anybody? What happens if they fooled us and we realize, you know, a year or two later, they're really not. They said all the right things that we wanted to hear. And at the end of the day, we know they didn't keep it. They are still wearing shatnez or whatever it is. You know, they're all still doing these things. And a real issue that comes up is when you have couples who are living together. And obviously, if one of them is Jewish, and they say, you know, if you want to take this to the next level, you want to get married, my parents, I will never marry someone who's not Jewish. That's in their minds. That's like the main thing. It doesn't matter how much they observe, actually. They, oh, I'm not marrying anyone who's not Jewish. So what are the parameters of these types of things? So you have, we'll begin with the Bechoros. Bechoros Lamed Amid Beis. Tan Rabbanim. We learned the following brisa. Goy Shebo Lekabel Divrei Torah Chutz Midover Echad. I'm going to take all the Torah except for one thing, says the Gemara Bechoros, Ein Mekabel No So. The Gemara is talking about different contexts over here, but this is the key line, that we would not accept them. So if they come and our potential person says, I'm not going to keep Shabbos, I'm not going to keep kosher, I'm not going to keep this one area, I'm not going to keep Yom Tov Sheni Shogolius, I'm not going to keep any of these, okay, we would not accept them. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Afilu Dikduk Echa Medivrei Sofrim. Even if they say, I'm not going to keep the Durabonons, I'll keep all the Duraises. I'm not waiting 6 hours between meat and milk. I'm not gonna. I'm eating chicken and milk together. I'll keep all the derises. I'm not keeping any derabonans. We would not accept such a person, which speaks to the importance of how we understand that the rabbinic laws, tikkunos and gezeiros, are part of our mesorah that we don't do lightly within. Sometimes people feel that there's a different status in halacha. We know there are different examples. Again, plug for the Chagiga Shir, but it came up when we talked about the maybe the concept of Sufik Dereis Lechumra. We said over last week that maybe that itself is only a Din Derabanan. Really on a Sufik Dereis Lechumra, on a Sufik Dereis, maybe would have gone Lekula. You'd ask Moshe Rabbeinu what to do. I have a Sufik, am I allowed to eat this, am I not? Sufik, okay, we'll be Mekil. But when the rabbis came along and made their Takanos, made their Halachas, so they built into the system where now I have to be a distinction between rabbinic laws and Torah laws. So therefore the rabbis came along, the Rashi we saw, Sinus Ains goes, oh, in order to make a distinction, so you know where you're dealing with the Deraisa versus the Rabbanan, we'll change it. And Deraisa, now you go Lechomro, you'll be strict, and the Rabbanan, you'll go Lekula. So if a person would come to us, says the Gemara, that if a person would come to us and say, I'm not keeping a Rabbanan, I'm sorry. That's considered to be, you know, that's chutz l'davar echad. So there's many tshuvas from the Gaon Chaim Oizer, the same as Achi Ezer. It's fascinating. If you look at the name of his sefer, right? Achi Ezer, so his name is hinted at that. If you see closely, Achi is like Chaim, and Ozer, right? So Chaim Ozer is Achi Ezer. That's the many Megidolim would base the name of their sefer. It's a play on words. Okay, fine. So here he says, Nira de din ze de noch mishbol his gayer lekabel love kol him itzva is chutz midik lekech midivrei sofrim im mekabel so quotes our gemara hainu memazne shlo lekabel shiye mutaloi davar ze min hadin. When he makes a condition, he makes a tanai and says, I have a different version of Judaism. My Judaism allows me to wear shatnez. My version of Judaism allows me to drive in a car on Yom Tov Sheni Shalgolis, right, in Durabonin. So this is my version. This is when he makes a condition. But then, if that's the case, says Reb Chaim Ozer, ain mekabel no so, de ain shiur tanai begerus, ain gerus lechatzoyin. There's no partial conversion. Like, I'm taking the parts of Judaism that I like, the parts of Judaism that fit into my comfort zone that I'm taking. No, we don't split it. It's all or nothing. I'm accepting the Torah. I'm not accepting the Torah. That's how it goes. Ava, but listen, this is a key line. B'mish mekabalav kol hamitzvos. The guy says, I am accepting upon myself my mitzvos. Rak shebedaito, but in his mind, lavor l'teyavon, he says, look, I understand this is what the Torah requires of me. But you know what? Maybe I have a taiva for something. I'm not going to be able to hold up to it. Ein zechisorin bedin kabbalas mitzvos. That's not called to be lacking once kabbalas mitzvos. So he comes and he says, I understand, I'm accepting the Torah, but I just don't know if I'm actually going to be able to keep it. That's a fascinating, not everybody agrees to that, but this is definitely what we go through the thing, right? So, comes along, one more part for this. Ulam, heiche shebor hadover. If it's so clear to us, Shibivada Yavor Achrechin al Isri Torah, Echilos Shabbos, Echilos Trefois. We know this guy is saying, look, I really want Jews, but my time is I'm going to work on Shabbos, or I'm gonna go to the sporting again, I'm gonna eat non kosher. I just remember how geschmack those cheeseburgers and the pepperoni pizza and the ham and cheese and all that. So, but I really love Judaism. But that's too much. On Yodim bebirur kavon also she'enim is gayer rak lifnim velibo balimo. He's just telling us, but his heart's not. You know, he's not really sincere. Hari umdina demuchach. So an umdina demuchach means like it's obvious. We can just tell. The circumstantial evidence has proven Shemasha Oimish Mikabalav Hamitzos Lav Klumhu. In that case, you know, that's nothing. Kein Zechi Sorim Mikalas Mitzvahs Dma'akiv. That would block him. So we have a little bit of a gray area here.
Yeah, that's kind of
No, you don't think it's gray? It was, how do we know? There's a shach. We basically defer to the Beis Din. How sincere is this person? if I really want this. I want this, but I don't know. I'm not going to be able to hold back.
It seems very, like, to me, honest, because many people want things, but you see, even the Gedolim fall short of something.
Right.
So everyone.
Everyone falls short.
Falls short of something.
Exactly.
That's human.
Exactly. So at what point do we say, look, okay, that's good enough. You've crossed the threshold. On the other hand, no, this isn't just a
You're bringing up pretty big things, like, you know, Shabbos and not keeping kosher.
Right. In other words,
yeah, there are a lot of little things we don't even know. You know, like,
I had a kid ask me.
You open up a bottle on Shabbos or something. You
know? Right, a person used a slotted spoon on Shabbos and didn't realize they just violated Borah, right? So that they didn't know.
Mess up or don't know.
Someone was asking me, one of my students said, you know, like, what's the dividing point between Orthodox and other denominations? This question. Probably, if someone didn't keep Shabbos, you have a very difficult time calling them an Orthodox Jew. Right? If someone didn't keep Kashrus. Shabbos. I mean, they're keeping Shabbos. They just don't know. They didn't, whatever. They never learned all of the. They should learn, but they didn't yet. They're not yet learned. That's how we'll say. Well, they're not yet learned all the, you know, Simon Shin Yud Ches Hilchos Bishul B'Shabbos. So they do things that they're not allowed. But they just know. Okay, you have a hard time telling someone like that's Orthodox. If you had somebody who was eating in a non kosher restaurant, right, you have a hard time saying that person's Orthodox. They might find these, like, you know, crazy coolers that they think, oh, if I bring my own cheese to the thing and I'll put it in the oven and then therefore it's really, okay, but you'd have a hard time if somebody eats out. What about a person who doesn't daven the minyan 3 times a day? Supposed to. Should try to. Gemara Mishnah Shulchan Aruch says, you should strive to daven the minyan. Are we going to say the guy's not Orthodox, he doesn't daven the minyan?
Yeah, you're going to take a survey, you're going to...
I don't think so.
You're going to find a lot of people in that category.
Probably. Okay, but I'm not saying that And to an objective standard, we wouldn't say the person's not an Orthodox Jew.
Okay, so they
right? So, but again, so there are, you have to cheshbon out what's like a make it or break it. And let's say a ger would come and say, I want to do this. I'm going to daven 3 times a day. My business schedule, my kid, I can't daven with a minyan 3 times a day. I have a hard time believing we would say no to such a person.
What's the community standard?
Every community standard is you daven with a minyan 3 times a day. That's a Jewish community standard. You should daven with a minyan. Again, if something comes up or whatever it is, but I mean, Baruch Hashem, certainly here there's so many minyanim, so many different times. We would say the person should be davening, but again, it's not going to be ma'akiv. I wouldn't say. Okay, so who argues? Ramosha. Yoredeya Beis Kuf. Chaf Dalad, Daha the Ger Shlo Kibel Af Dikduk Echod Ein Mekabel Noso Kede Isim Bchoros Kotzar Gemora Daf Lamed Mashma Shegam Kishakabel Oisa Ein a Ger. When he accepts this, he's not really a Ger. Midelo Huska Shebediavid Hu Ger. He says you're not really a Ger because it doesn't say he's Medayik from the Gemara. It doesn't say the Bediavid after the fact. Really, we do consider it. It's not a Gerus. Shulchan Aruch seems to be saying Kolin Yoni Hager. See on the next source, Bein the Hodiyah LeMitzvah Yis LeKablam Bein Mila Bein Mitzvila. Right, we tell him all the mitzvahs that he has to accept. Tell him about getting a bris mila. We tell him about the you're going to tovel him in the mikvah. Tzarech Shihiyu BeGimel HaKisherim LeDun has to be in front of a Beis Din. 3 people who are qualified to serve on a Beis Din. In other words, you can't just get three buddies in the back of the shul one time. You know. The 3 guys who do breakaway, who go to like a kiddush club. Okay, by the way, some non-Jew encounters. Excuse me, could you please convert me? They say we had a few lechayims already. We're in a good mood. Okay, let's make you Jewish. No, that's doch ridiculous. But yom, it's a ma'isa beis. Has to be done during the daytime. Miyudavka lechadchila. This is only the preferable way of doing it. Val b'di'evidim lomal otovel el b'fnei beis o krovin b'layla. He did it in front of 2, and they were relatives, it was done at night. If he lo tovel l'shem geirus, if he went to the mikvah, it wasn't done l'shem geirus, he went swimming, he went skinny dipping in the ocean. El isha tovel l'kirio, he went because he was a balkeri, v'isha shetovel, and also when we went for, because nida, have a ger umota b'yisraelis. The person, technically speaking, is a convert, and they're allowed to marry a Jewish woman. chutz mikavolas hamitzvahs. But with that, those we could be making on the tevila aspect of it. But the exception of the kavolas hamitzvahs shema akeves im eina beyom uveshlosha. So that part has to be done. You have to have a real ma'aseh basin on the kavolas hamitzvahs. That we could be lenient on the other areas, but when it comes to actually determining if the person is accepting upon themselves the sincerity of it, it has to be done during the day. A ma'aseh beis din, it has to be done with three in front of a real beis din.
That's the mechanics of the act of becoming a Jew, but yeah. Not the acceptance part.
That acceptance has to be done in front of, they ask questions, they explain, right. And they talk. It's a conversation. It's not like, you know, check off the box, right? Do you accept mitzvahs? Yes. You know, there's a discussion. They understand. And it's not the first time they meet with these people. They usually have like a sponsoring rabbi, so to speak. And Rabbi Busus in town works with potential gerim. And then when they're ready, he'll refer them to, I think the base that he sends them to is with the RCBC up in Bergen County. And I know. I have a very close friend who works on the Beis Din, and it's a process, right? It's not just, you know, you show up and that. Okay. So the issue though is that this Shulchan Aruch seems to be a contradiction to a different Shulchan Aruch. So let's look now. Let's go back. That was in Reish Samaches Gimel, in Reish Samaches Yud Beis. Ve'im lo bodku achrav. They didn't really do a whole bedika, you know, an in-depth investigation. Osh lo hiduhu schar mitzvahs va'onshin. They don't tell the guy about the schar va'onish, the reward for mitzvahs and the punishments, right? And then umal v'tov b'fnei gimel hedyotos. He gets a bris, goes to the mikvah, funny thing. Harei ze ger. This guy is a convert. Afilu noidesh b'shvil dover whom is gayer. Even we found out that he was doing it for a particular reason. He thought, you know, he works in a Jewish law firm. He works with Jewish doctors. And he thinks, if I'm part of the tribe, I'll get a better position, get a better job. Reverse anti-Semitism. It's, I guess, called Semitism. if I'm Jewish, I can advance in the firm. So maybe I want that. Maybe I have political power. Maybe there's a reason why the guy wants to become Jewish, or he has a Jewish girlfriend and she wants to become Jewish. So we find out he did this not literally l'shem Torah mitzvah, it's for a different reason. Hoil umal v'tovol yot mechal oydei kachovim. Since he already had the bris, he dunked in the mikvah, he's yotza miklal oivdei kachovim, he's out of the category of an idol worshiper, v'choshishim lo ad shetizbarer tzidkoso. So we're choshishim, like we're concerned, we suspect, until we can be mizvair, we could clarify for ourselves what his intentions were.
So what's the ramification of choshish?
So one second. Afilu chazav ovid alilim. Even he goes back now and starts worshiping idols. Harehu ki Yisrael mishumad shekidushin kedushin. So the what's the ramification of that middle time period? So really, technically speaking, he is a Jew. B'di'evid, the guy is Jewish.
He can get married.
He can get married. Right, but we want to still be, you know, he's a meshumad, you know, so the ramification would be yayin, it's not mevushal, right? What do we have? And you could have a person who's born Jewish, and unfortunately, in certain areas of halacha dino kenachri, right? We have certain things like that, not to touch wine, it's not mevushal, in terms of edus in particular areas, we would not accept them. You know, a person has to have ne'emonas in an area in order to be believed. They have to keep that area of halacha themselves. Had a shayla. Baruch Atod Melech Olam Shachol Nigro. Had a shayla about the family has children, and one of the children is not religious, unfortunately, no longer religious. Hopefully they'll be chayz b'tshuva, and they baked, I don't know what it was, cookies, brownies, or something in the parents' kitchen. And gave it as a gift to someone who's from. And the shayla was presented to me, can they eat from this? So let's just think for a second. What would you say?
It's a question of
pastors. They cooked in their parents' home. So parents are frum. The kalim are fine. The ingredients are fine.
Many, including this one, cook baking cookies. That's what you're saying.
What do you mean?
Who baked the cookies?
This individual who's not yet, who's no longer religious,
baked it
in their parents' home. Using all the pots and pans, right? Using all the ingredients.
They're Jewish,
but they don't keep kosher. Can they give that box of brownies, of cookies, that cake? I don't know what the pastry was, whatever they baked in their parents' kitchen. Can they give it to?
So
first of all, they gave it. The question is now: can that person shy? Can they eat it?
The question of whether they know the halacha, because
they know the halacha. They know what the halacha is. They know Hilchos Kashrus. They don't.
They can have been believed to have.
Right, Hilchus. That's the question. They have them honest.
It's called unsupervised hashgach.
Hashgach. So I'll tell you, it's like this. I'll tell you a tshuva of Rav Moshe on this.
And you have a question of the whole kitchen at the end of the day.
Yeah. Okay, that thing. The person wasn't all asking, "Can I go eat in their house?" The person was asking, yeah, "Can I eat the cookies that were given to me?" Yeah, Rav Moshe has a tshuva. I don't remember the date off the top of my head. It was a Russian father, who was from, and the daughter was not, and they lived together. And there was like one, I think maybe separate apartments, upstairs, downstairs, and she wanted to cook kosher food for her father. And she herself did not keep kosher. So in the tshuva, Moshe permits it. This is years ago. I could find the actual date of the tshuva. And he says a child wouldn't willingly mess over their parents. Keep it out, he allowed it. That tshuva, however, lemaisa is not really relied upon nowadays, because the chiddush over there was that a person could have ne'emanus even if they themselves don't keep it. Meaning, we believe that she's doing everything properly. Now they do not. So the answer is for this person who got the gift of pastries, whatever it was, from a kosher home. But then the person themselves did not keep that halacha, they have no ne'emanus. So this child, unfortunately, does not keep kosher, cannot present something, and you have this.
So from the original psak to the new psak?
They point out that I discussed with Poskim that the particular cases of that nowadays people. I think like that svara that people wouldn't mess over somebody doesn't really apply anymore.
You know, it's less trust.
Yeah, exactly. They really would. They would say something, and we don't necessarily know if they. So yeah, your question was a great question. You know, what's the status of this person? We're not sure. Do they have nem on us on these particular areas until we know whether or not? Okay.
What about if there was a likelihood that the balabais, from balabais, could have come in and looked?
So that would be. Interesting. That probably would work because then you have, you know,
two kids are doing this.
If you have it in hashkacha, you have a yotze v'nichnas, nichnas v'yotze. He's going in and out. So then they're not going to do anything because they'll get caught.
Right.
Okay, they'll get caught.
So that's a different situation.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So the chilek is whether you tell them about the mitzvos, or they accepted the mitzvos. I'm going to read to you in English the next one. Nechem de Shlomo. In my opinion, it's clear and simple that there's no question at all. For the acceptance of the mitzvos means that one accepts to enter into the religion of Israel and to fulfill all the Torah commands and the mitzvos without any conditions. But that's the Kabbalah. Informing of the mitzvos refers to informing the level and the stringency of the mitzvos. The Gemara says, initially you ate forbidden fats and desecrated Shabbos and you wouldn't get stoned. Meaning, but now you would. you had a complete, different lifestyle over there. Regarding this, the Shulchan Aruch writes properly that the lack of informing of mitzvahs does not invalidate the conversion. And our great teacher in his pure book, that's the Shulchan Aruch, explained explicitly how this refers to the reward and punishment of the mitzvahs. However, it's obvious that one's always required to accept the mitzvahs, to state he wants to enter into the Jewish religion. This seems to be the clear and simple informing of the mitzvahs and acceptance of the mitzvahs are two separate issues. So now, you go back to the Shulchan Aruch, let's say, do we have to inform them or not? So one is when they, of course you have to know about the mitzvahs, but whether we require the formal kabbal of them or not, that was where they should, but that's his way of being mechalik between the two different issues. If you look on the last page.
Sounds like the other way around.
What do you mean?
Yes, you have to inform them, but if you didn't, The acceptance is more important than the informing.
The first one was the acceptance.
Yeah.
The first Shulchan Aruch was talking about accepting it. And then we'll read, this is from the Tzur Mirabonan. According to Chemdes Shlomo, the Shulchan Aruch's ruling in source 5 refers to the convert's acceptance of the mitzvos, which is required and validates the conversion if performed improperly or not at all. On the other hand, the ruling in source number 6, that was Yud Beis, refers to the judges informing the convert about the nature and the severity of the mitzvos, which does not invalidate the conversion if it's not done, provided the convert still agreed to accept all the mitzvos upon himself. So you have to be modiah them, that's clear. And if you don't tell them about them, then okay, but the opposite, that if they, or the, I shouldn't say the opposite, the other, if they didn't formally accept it, that would not technically be ma'akev. You're talking about the schar va'onish.
It sounds like either way they have to accept it, but if they don't get informed, that's the one not ma'akev.
Oh, shalohi di'uhu, schar mitzvos va'onshin. They weren't modiah, they didn't inform him that. So is that the end? Harizek Yisrael? Right? Shuman, Kedushin.
It's an important thing. It's the acceptance. They have to accept it one way or another. But whether they know what they're accepting exactly or not, then that's not the mock, right? Because if they didn't inform him, it's still at least that video of it not in a mana state, but they clearly have to accept something.
Yeah. Based on what we've seen, it seems that improper or partial acceptance of mitzvahs would indeed invalidate the geirus. However, we must still determine the extent of the rule. Does this mean the admission of a convert that he or she will be incapable of fulfilling one detailed aspect of halacha would that invalidate the entire conversion? Rav Moshe Feinstein addresses this issue in the next source. Okay. Wait, I think we spoke about this last time, outside maybe. Mistaber shemashmos kamad devarim deger shekibo kol hamitzvos. Right, from all the things that we understand, the ger has to accept the mitzvos. Aval Omar lebeizdin sha'af shemekabel alav kol hamitzvos yadeish lo yuchal la'amod b'nisayon laharig shemesuhu b'devarim shadin hu yaharig v'lo yavor. They say, look, I'm keeping the Torah, but if you give me one of these big yaharig v'lo yavors where you have to give up your life, I'm not sure that I can really be able to do that. I'm not sure that if they ask me to do something, I might not be able to stand up to that. Shenechshav kabbalas mitzvahs, that nevertheless is considered to be a kabbalas mitzvahs. That's an interesting point Ramosh is making. Why me'acha shekibla chiv hamitzvahs? They're accepting upon themselves they're obligated to do these lekaimim, right? That they're going to keep them. Uchashiyeh lo be'efsher shehu shalotehe anusa, and you know, and honestly, they were, you know, pressured into doing something that's beyond their control. I'm doing this because I couldn't stand up to that. It wasn't a lacking in my kabbalas mitzvahs. I accepted, but I couldn't live up to it, right? You know, they don't want to do it. And for the financial reasons, the person feels like they couldn't do it. The case is a woman who was going to convert a week before Shavuos. And we said this over last week, that she felt that she had to go to work. So she arranged things in advance that she would walk to work, she wouldn't do any malacha, but she showed up on Yom Tov for work. And by the way, as a side point, if you don't think this is happening on college campuses, the kids are going to classes on Yom Tov.
For years.
It's,
you know, what I was.
It happens.
But they don't take the campus bus.
Yeah, their friend holds the ticket. Yeah.
There was a group that did that. They rented a hotel next to the Giant Stadium. They had everything. They brought a Sefer Torah to the hotel for the thing. They had a goy carry their tickets in the parking lot for them because there was no Eruv.
So it violated the spirit of Shabbos, but it was technically correct.
I don't think there was anything correct about it.
It was not correct.
I don't think there was anything correct about it. So what did you do? That was your Shabbos? It means the whole pomp and circumstance to beat the system. It's a terrible chinuch. It's terrible. It's terrible. They did it. Okay, look, I think we have to, you know, we have to give a proper chinuch just to show where our values are. And I, my opinion is that undermines the values we're trying to inculcate in our kids. Lemaisa, at the end of the day, Ramosha allows it. He says that a person who really feels like they want to keep the halacha, but they're not sure if they'd be able to, you know, keep the big three, that is not a chisorin, a lacking in Kabbalah Mitzvahs. And we could add, you know, unfortunately, throughout history, there's been many, many cases where people were unable to withstand, Jews were unable to withstand the terrible persecutions. The Chassid Yaivitz writes by the Inquisition. He says the ones who were Moiser Nefesh and gave their lives were the children, the women, the ones who were very simplistic and tamimus in their Muna. And all the philosophers, all the razzle dazzle geniuses, they're the ones who gave in. Mm-hmm. It's what to be said for simple Pashita Emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mm-hmm. Okay, Shkoyach.